Well, hello everybody and welcome. You have tuned in to episode number 394 of Linux in the Ham Shack, and this is the Weekender on your most terrific amateur radio podcast. So I don't actually remember which episode of the Weekender this is, but it doesn't really matter because it is a Weekender, which means we're going to talk about upcoming events, special contests, contest events, whatever, in both amateur radio and open source. And we'll tell you about distributions and good things you can do in both the worlds of amateur radio and open source. And then we will slide smoothly into the world of hedonism, which is where we really get into the fun things in life like alcohol and music and food and all the things that make life worth living. So let's get to it. I'm Russ, K5TUX.
I'm Cheryl, W5MOO.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD.
And as we usually do on the Weekender, we let Bill start off with this weekend in amateur radio contests.
CQ. That's right. These contests, of course, get picked up from contestcalendar.com, the best contestcalendar.com in the world, probably the universe. So, the first one this weekend, we got a big one here. This is the AWRL International DX Contest. And this runs from 0000 Zulu, February 20th, to 2400 Zulu, February 21st. Bands there are 160 through 10, no work. And this is the CW version of the contest. But don't let that scare you. Just try it. This is a great opportunity to work on your DXCC and CW. And, of course, they count as just as DXCC entities, no matter which mode you use. So CW is a fine mode to use. If you don't want to do CW this weekend, there's also the Russian PSK Worldwide Contest. They're running from 1200 Zulu February 20th to 1159 Zulu February 21st. And this is also 160 through 10, no work. And these modes are good old PSK, BPSK 31, BPSK 63, and BPSK 125. Modes I haven't used in quite a while. So it's time to break out the FL Digi and have some fun doing some PSK. So check out those two contests this weekend. There is no state QSO party challenge this weekend, so you don't have to worry about missing one of your states for your worked all QSO parties, QSO party awards. But next weekend, let's see what we got next weekend. We have a top band contest. We have the CQ 160 meter contest. It runs from 2200 Zulu February 26th to 2200 Zulu February 28th. Band there, of course, top band, 160 meters. And this is the single sideband one. So, you can talk, you can use your microphone. And, you know, even if you have a marginal antenna, just go ahead and squeak a signal out. I know I've used that 53 foot NFED half wave with the 9-to-1. On 160 and have worked coast to coast. So it's completely possible to use a really crummy antenna and still squeak a signal out there on 160. So give it a try, go have some fun and do some top band work here. Also next weekend, we have the NAQP, that's the North America QSO Party. And of course, along with that is the North America Collegiate Championship. And it runs from 1800 Zulu February 27th to 0559 Zulu February 28th. And it's 80 meters through 10 meters, no work. And of course, the mode there is RTTY. That's not FT8, that's RTTY. So, and of course, the NAQP is the one where you can make a team competition. You can have up to five amateurs, doesn't matter where they're located in the U.S. And they can become part of a team, and you can go against other teams against the U.S. as well. So it's kind of a fun niche to the competition there. You just have to register your team early, and you can register it as close to the contest, too. So even if you only get it, the day before or, maybe the morning of, right, you could still get that registered. But we do have a couple of state QSO parties running next weekend. It is North Carolina and South Carolina. So you can pick up the Carolinas and add two more to your list if you're you're trying to get all that work all QSO party stuff. I know the opening weekend I only ended up working British Columbia, so I didn't do so well. I tried, but I just couldn't get my stuff together here to get on those. So do enjoy those and have some fun on amateur radio contesting over the next 2 weeks.
All right, very good. Well, if you don't want to do contesting, maybe you want to work some special events. We do have a few of those coming up over the next couple of weeks. The first one I have listed here is a commemoration of George Washington's birthday. This is going to run from February 20th at 2000 Zulu to February 22nd at 2000 Zulu. Call sign is Whiskey Sierra 7 Golf. Frequencies on or about 3.855, 7.222, and 14.322. Mode single sideband. And as I said before, it is a commemoration of George Washington's birthday, and it's going to be operated out of the state of Washington. So if you want a QSL card from that special event, try and work them. We also have the Copper Dog 150 Dog Sled Race. This will be operating February 26th through February 28th. The call sign is Kilo 9 Charlie. It'll be operating on several frequencies, including 7.300 and several modes, single sideband, potentially others. The Copper Dog 150 will be, like I said, February 26th through the 28th. If you're interested in volunteering, would like to sign up for your favorite location, or you have a question or suggestion, please contact the communications coordinator, Bill LaBelle, at BillLaBelle@CopperDog150.com. And they'll be operating on all the popular HF bands, according to them. And there'll be a link to a QRZ.com page for information about their QSLs. And the links to all that stuff will be in the show notes. So check it out. And finally, we have the 13th annual Freeze Your Keys Winter Operating Event. This will be from 1400 Zulu to 2200 Zulu on February 27th. Call sign is Whiskey Zero Echo Bravo Bravo. Be CW and SSB on 7.035, 7.240, 14.058, and 14.325. And if you work us on our annual Freeze Your Keys Day, thanks for stopping by to help make each year's event even better. And again, this is the 17th annual. They've been doing this winter operating event for some time, and they've been a bit on the cold side, but still fun, and they learn something new every year. Hopefully it won't be as cold as it has been recently. Man, it's been ridiculous.
I was going to say, they probably should have done it this last weekend. So.
If they like it cold, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's all I've got listed here for special event stations coming up. And for announcements I put in here, check out the upcoming Deep Dive episode on M17, which will be episode 396. So check that one out. Episode 400 celebration. What's that about?
I just thought, you know, we're coming to another milestone number with the podcast here. You know, we're at 394 and we're not very far away from a magic 400. Yeah, I thought maybe we should do something special, maybe especially for our subscribers and Patreons. I'm thinking, I don't know. What could we do for episode 400?
I don't know. Are you actually spinning your wheels, or do you have something in mind and you just want me to try and guess it?
I actually have to mess up my something in mind.
I kind of felt you did, so.
Yeah, so this will be for the supporters of the show. So you can go ahead and join our Patreon or join us through the subscriptions on what is that? PayPal?
PayPal
thingy?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yep. PayPal thingy.
Just go to the website and look for the membership page.
Yeah, and I'm thinking I'll put in for we'll do a random drawing of our Patreons and our subscribers, and I will send you a Raspberry Pi 400 kit. Ooh. For episode 400, and we'll announce the winner on episode 400. So this is just for our Patreons and subscribers, because, you know, you guys help us continue this podcast and help support us and get us going. And if you happen to be out of the country, we'll work on trying to get that to you through a local supplier in your area. But I'll work through those challenges myself. But I thought it'd be nice to kind of give back to the people that are given to us. And we really appreciate your support throughout the years and the continued support year after year. And since we can't go spend money on going to Dayton and having a blast seeing you all face-to-face, I thought we'd take an opportunity on episode 400 to do something different. So if you're not a Patreon or a subscriber, go ahead and, you know, think about becoming one. Don't let this be the only reason. Hopefully the content is worth enough to you anyway that you're interested in supporting us. I thought it'd be nice to do that for our subscribers and Patreons.
Oh, that's very cool. So you said random draw of everybody who is a Patreon or PayPal supporter as of when?
As of the morning of the show.
Yeah.
All right. As of the morning of the show.
We'll pull the list and we'll plop it into one of those super secure selector automatic randomizer thingy marbobbers. I've used them before for other stuff to make it completely legit and certified and all that other garbage and stuff like that. So this is not a sweepstakes or any of that other thing or whatever. So this is just a personal thing that I'm going to select one of you randomly to receive this. And if you don't want it, then we'll send it to somebody else. So, I think that's kind of cool.
I think that's kind of cool too.
If I'm doing my math right, you need to be a subscriber by March 18th to be included in this.
Oh, cool. So it'll be, we'll probably do that episode either real close or maybe on the weekend of the QSO Today show.
Yeah. That would be cool.
So maybe we can kind of coordinate that so the episode 400 is done live as part of the booth.
The show. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see if we can work that out. Very cool. It's all coming together. And thanks for springing that on us now because we had no idea what you were going to do until just now. So, but now everybody knows. So that's very cool.
And we'll mention that on other episodes coming up. Obviously, not the next one because I just sprung it on you. We record that one before this one. Let the secret sauce out, right?
Yeah, there you go.
But we'll mention it on all the other ones.
Thanks for making me do editing. Okay, so let's go and move on from our announcements, which that was very cool. Oh, we should probably include one that came from the chat room. That's Tony said that it looks like the Huntsville Hamfest will actually happen as an in-person event so far. So keep that on your radar.
After he posted that earlier, I checked it, and I guess Alabama doesn't have the rules that other states have. So
we'll see if it changes before August. But
right, they were doing some different stuff in the way of, you know, socially distancing everybody, but which hopefully it works for them. So
yeah, well, let's hope that is a happening thing because it's not entirely infeasible for us to potentially go to Huntsville. So we'll see how that works out.
Alrighty then.
All right. So also we have our Linux in the Ham Shack Ham Radio Challenge for this fortnight, and I put in check out Dude Star, which I put in a couple of, or what, on the last one, like right before we talked about Dude Star, and I'm putting it back in here because we just talked about Dude Star, and now that you know everything there is to know about it, you should check it out, and also check out M17, so you can be one of the very first people to use M17 as a communications protocol. And if you haven't done so already, register for the QSO Today Virtual Ham Radio Expo. That's coming up real soon. Links to it, of course, will be in the show notes. And, you know, you want to be a part of that because we're going to be a part of it. And it's a good show. The last one was good. Next one will be good. So be there. All right. And with that, we move down to This Weekend in Open Source. And Bill has chosen a distribution that I can't remember actually having heard of before tonight. So let's find out what it is.
Yeah. I just found this myself. This is Maybox Linux. That's version 21.02, and it's codenamed FolTest, F-O-L-T-E-S-T. And this is from the announcement page, Napcock, N-A-P-C-O-K, announced that, I am pleased to announce a new release of Maybox Linux 21.02 FolTest. Maybox is a distribution based on Manjaro with a pre-configured lightweight OpenBox window manager and several specifically developed programs and tools. Works great even on weaker computers. Maybox 21.02 FolTest is equipped with the latest 5.10 LTS kernel. Of course, you can easily install other kernels and decide which one to run at boot time. The installer offers the option of choosing free or proprietary drivers when booting. Select the free or non-free option. This release includes a number of new fixes, new and updated packages, and new features, including menu, side panels, lots of improvements, gradients, configurable side panels, position, padding, border, submenu spacing, rounded quarters, border, tint to panel. I don't know what that means, but it's adding launchers to a panel is very easy now. Tint to panel, optional mini hardware monitor for SysTray. So running a Python program called phwmon. I also fixed the conky showing the wrong memory usage bug. MB reset helper command to reset update config files. J JG browser pipe menu. I don't know any of this stuff. I have to check this distribution out. let's see. Sysinfo pipe menu. Click actions added where they can make sense. Kernel packages resolution and JG browser added to mount points. He says enjoy and stay safe. So this is a cool little, if you're into Arch and kind of like Manjaro, this is something kind of based on that same flavor. And try it out. It kind of looks interesting.
I guess it does. I don't know anything about it, but I guess I could spin up a VM and see what it's like.
Absolutely.
And maybe I will do that one of these days when I have nothing else to do.
That will be after you're dead. So.
Right. We all know when that's going to happen. So with that, let's go ahead and move on to our open source events. And for this, we have Cheryl come in here and tell you about some upcoming stuff that you can do, most likely virtual in our current climate, to learn about open source.
Yes. So the first one is the Usenix File and Storage Technology Conference, otherwise known as FAST. It is February 23rd through the 25th, 2021. It's online. The cost ranges from $0 to $125. FAST 21 will take place as a virtual event this year. FAST will bring together storage system researchers and practitioners to explore new directions in the design, implementation, evaluation, and deployment of storage systems. And Russ has not attended FAST, right?
That is one of the Usenix events I have not gone to. I've been to several, and I just thought it was kind of interesting that we're actually seeing Usenix events come back into the, you know, into reality, because I don't think they were doing them for quite a while during the pandemic. I don't know that they transitioned well into virtual events, but now they're starting to do them. So yes, that's cool.
And the next one is Open Source 101. It is February 24th and 25th, 2021. It is online. Cost is free. There's a question mark beside that, so I'm not sure. You'd probably have to dig a little deeper to see if there is a charge. The information provided says Open Source 101 is a conference designed to educate current technology professionals and technology students on topics foundational to open source, open tech, and open web. The event will feature sessions on major topics delivered by some of the top experts in the country. Attendees will include current technology professionals experienced using open source, those coming from a proprietary background and new to open source, as well as students from computer science and other technology programs at universities and colleges throughout the region. Schools represented will include the University of Texas at Austin, Department of Computer Science, and many more. The conference has been structured to allow and encourage access to nearly everyone. The first 250 tickets are absolutely free. Those after the first 250 are claimed at just $19 USD. That's less than $1 per session. A tremendous value.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember I pasted that in there last time you talked about this, because we mentioned it on the last last one.
Yeah, because I was like digging around for money, you know, because you're like, I don't know, baby, yeah. So
that's okay. This apparently is entirely just cutting pasting this whole show. So because like
that's all we do. Yeah.
Yeah, the open source challenge is of course cut and pasted from up above.
Yeah, I was gonna say, are we like driving this into everybody's head? Or
well,
not?
Yes, so. Because it's both open source and amateur radio related. Both the Dude Star and the QSO Today Virtual Ham Radio Expo. Oh, I mean, the platform. True. The platform for the expo is not open source, but there will be a lot of open source discussion. So,
right.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, that gets us down through the amateur radio and open source topics, and now we get headlong into the hedonism. See what I did there? Anyway. Let's let Cheryl start off, as she always does, with her recipe corner.
Yes, so this week, the temperatures in Missouri for the last 11 or 12 days have been in the teens or lower as daytime highs, and we've had a mixture of snow and sleet every day for those days. So, yeah, weather here is not great, but when it's cold outside, I'm a soup person. Russ is not, but I am.
Soup sometimes.
Sometimes, not very often, though.
I was thinking about having soup tonight.
Wow, yay. So I'm shocked, since there's like four different bowls of soup in the fridge right now. So the recipe that I picked out for this week is slow cooker chicken and dumplings. And it's one of my favorite soups, because you get to dump everything in your slow cooker and wander off and go do other interesting stuff. So for that, you need boneless, skinless chicken breast halves, butter, cream of chicken soup, cream of celery soup, garlic powder, poultry seasoning, onion powder, salt, pepper, onion, chicken broth, and canned biscuits torn into little tiny pieces. So, and the rest of the directions will be in the show notes. So, and then for my mixed drink corner, since it is snowy outside, I picked the Jack Frost cocktail, which is pineapple juice, blue curacao, light rum, or vodka, cream of coconut, and you cannot substitute anything else for that, light corn syrup, and some coconut flakes. And the corn syrup and coconut flakes is to rim your glass. And the directions, of course, will be in the show notes. So,
Cool. That sounds good. Do we have the stuff to make that, except for the coconut flakes?
We have coconut. It's in the kitchen cabinet.
Oh, we have coconut, too? Huh? Yeah. Well,
wow, imagine. Yeah.
Imagine. Maybe something for later. Who knows?
Yeah.
Okay, so my drink corner tonight is going to be a little bit of a departure. It's something that I said I was going to do, and then I promptly forgot that I said I was going to do it. But someone in the chat room, was it N2NRV, earlier today, reminded me that I said I was going to do it. Yeah, Fred, N2NRV, said he's looking forward to my review on Drambuie, because I brought it up in the 64, episode 64 of The Weekender. So you know what? Let's review Drambuie. Sorry, didn't mean to pause there.
Awkward silence.
Yeah.
No, dogs are acting weird. So anyway, so Drambuie is a different animal. This came up in the context of Bill drinking the Diplomático Reserva rum a few episodes back. And I said, sort of along the same vein as something called Drambuie, which is an herb and what do they call it? An herb and heather, honey, and spice-infused scotch whiskey, which may or may not sound interesting to you, but hopefully it sounds more interesting either way by the end of this. So their description is, Drambuie is a whiskey liqueur, not liquor, liqueur, a blend of aged scotch whiskey, spices, herbs, and heather honey. Its origins can be traced to a secret recipe created for Bonnie Prince Charlie by his royal apothecary, in the 18th century. The name Drambuie is derived from Scots Gaelic, when I'm going to screw this up bad, Andram Brudach, or something like that, and means the drink that satisfies. Allegedly, only three people on Earth know the recipe, and it's now in its fifth generation of blenders. Note that liqueurs, like Drambuie should be refrigerated once opened. I did not know this, and I have not been refrigerating mine. So,
well, if it kills you, we'll know what did it. So
it has not killed me yet. And I have had many drams out of this bottle since it was opened probably 3 years ago. So obviously it's okay not to refrigerate it, but they suggest that you do.
Yeah, your mileage may vary.
Yeah.
We do not provide any health advice or technical.
Exactly. Right.
So let's go into the details here. The mash bill, of course, is unknown because it's a secret. It includes, however, heather honey, lots of herbs, and lots of spices, and, of course, scotch whiskey. Now, which scotch whiskeys are in it, I have no idea. It's bottled at 80 proof or 40%. It comes from the Isle of Skye near Glasgow. In Scotland, it is a beautiful golden color. It's like pure gold. And it tastes like it, too. Not like you licked a gold coin, but it's, yeah. So I don't know how to nose and taste this because it's infused with things. So those are the things you're going to nose and taste. But I get so much out of this on both, it's ridiculous. I get, like, you know, the honey, of course, and clove, and baking spice, and pear, and strawberry, and anise. Let's see what else. White pepper, raisin. There's also a hint of, like, caramel, which is weird because scotch generally doesn't have that essence. That's more of a bourbony thing. I mean, you could smell this. You could just sit around smelling it for hours. It's really...
It's probably not quite as fun as drinking it, though.
Well, ultimately, no, because I don't think you really get messed up by smelling it. But all of those things that you smell are the things you taste as well. Let me see. Let me just give it another sip here and see if there's anything else, you know, specific I pull out of it. Yeah, the raisiny, peach, pear, honey, vanilla, caramel, strawberry, licorice. I mean, it's clove. It's just I don't know. There's so much packed into it. It's amazing. It's very herbal. It's very floral. It's very sweet. It's definitely a digestif or an aperitif. You know, it's not something that, I mean, they have lots of different cocktails using it, but I don't know why you would ruin this by making it into a cocktail. Just drink it. It's amazing. That being said, it is an after dinner kind of thing. It's not something you're going to sit around and sip on like all day long. It's very sweet. It's something that's for dessert, for special occasions, things like that. And it's very thick and heavy and oily, so it coats everything when you drink it, and the flavor lasts forever. It has like the longest finish of any whiskey or liqueur that I can recall. And it's fantastic. It's not expensive. It only runs about $30 or $7.50, so it's really approachable. And because I leave a score of 100 off the table because I guess something could always be better, I'm going to give this a 99, which I can't give it 100 because I suppose something you could do to it could make it better, but it's one step away from perfection. And I'm telling you, especially for people like Bill who like the sweeter Venezuelan rums and stuff like that, if you like those, this is amazing. Mm. So
your wife will probably like it too.
I'll definitely put it on the shopping list.
There you go.
Yeah, you should definitely try it. And when you come home and say, I got you some scotch to try, she's obviously going to turn up her nose and be like, yeah, no thanks. But I'm telling you, you could give this to five-year-olds and they would like it. It's like...
it's high C, kids.
Yeah. Don't do that. But yeah, the stuff is amazing. So if you can get your hands on some Drambuie, which you can because it's available everywhere and has been for tens and dozens and hundreds of years, you should go buy some and at least have it in your liquor cabinet for those special times when you just want to have something smooth, sweet, and incredibly tasty. So there you go. Hmm. All right, Bill, you got anything?
No, I was just drinking some red wine earlier. I have no glass in front of me right now, so I just finished a cigar a little while ago. So that's about all I got going on in my corner.
All right. Well, that means we have come down to the end of the show. We've gotten through the hedonism. We've gotten through all the amateur radio and the open source. We've talked about the announcements. And we don't have any music, and we haven't had any music for a while. Maybe we'll have to rectify that one of these days. But in the meantime, we're going to go ahead and wrap this one up. We did have a few folks in the chat room with us tonight. We had Don, KC9ZMY, Don, KB2YSI, and Tony, K4XSS. So thank them for hanging out here with us. But with that, we'll go ahead and wrap this one up. It's been The Weekender, episode number 394 of Linux in the Ham Shack. Thanks for being here. Hope you have a great fortnight. I'm Russ, K5TUX.
I'm Cheryl, W5MOO.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD73.